Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 6 at 19,884. S&P 500 up 1 at 2,280. NASDAQ Composite down 6 at 5,636. Russell 2000 small and mid caps down 3 at 1,357. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 1 basis point at 2.47%. Oil down 23 cents at $53.65 per barrel. Gold up $6.40 at $1,217 per ounce. In Pennsylvania today, the famed groundhog Punxsutawney Phil emerged from his burrow, saw his shadow. In Arizona, Awafria Freddy slithered from his hole and saw his shadow. 6 more weeks of winter, per folklore. Yesterday, Janet Yellen must have seen her shadow, so at least 6 more weeks without a rate hike. Yesterday, the Fed wrapped up its 2-day policy meeting and stuck to its mildly upbeat view of the economy, but gave no hint on when it will next raise interest rates. The FOMC held its benchmark interest rate between a range of 0.5% and 0.75%, while noting that the labor market remained solid and inflation was still below its 2% target. Today, the Bank of England, while raising its forecast for British growth this year, also kept policy unchanged and said rates could go either way depending on the economic outlook. The BOE held its key interest rate and asset purchase program unchanged at 0.25% and £435 billion, respectively, but some members raised concerns about accelerating inflation, with forecasts that prices could rise at 2.8% following the sharp drop in the pound sterling. U.S. worker productivity slowed in the fourth quarter, leading to the smallest annual increase in 5 years. Productivity, which measures hourly output per worker, rose at a 1.3% annual rate in the quarter. Productivity in the third quarter revised up to show a 3.5% pace of increase. Productivity has increased at an annual rate of less than 1% in each of the last 6 years. The number of Americans who applied for unemployment benefits at the end of January fell by 14,000 to 246,000. That's an extremely low level that might foreshadow another solid employment report tomorrow. New claims have tallied less than 300,000 for 100 straight weeks now, a streak that last occurred back in 1970. And the economy has created more than 2 million jobs per year for 6 straight years. Tomorrow is the non-farm payroll report for January. Most estimates running around 175,000 new jobs for the month. But with strong economic reports this week, some estimates now running as high as 200,000 or so. The December report came in at 156,000 jobs and 4.7% unemployment. U.S. Treasury Department said it will allow companies to do some transactions with Russia's security service, the FSB, despite cyber sanctions put in place by former President Obama. U.S. intelligence agencies accused the FSB of involvement in hacking of Democratic organizations during the 2016 presidential election, but the White House insists it is not loosening sanctions. President Trump said today he'd like to speed up talks over renegotiating the North American Free Trade Agreement, which he said has been a catastrophe for U.S. workers and jobs. His comments come a day after Mexico kicked off the countdown on trade negotiations. President Enrique Peña Nieto announced yesterday he would start trade negotiations to reform NAFTA in May after a 90-day consultation period with Mexican businesses. Yesterday, after the close, Facebook announced a blockbuster quarter. Facebook earned $1.41 per share as revenue exploded by 51% versus a year ago to $8.8 billion. Both monthly active users and daily active users outpaced estimates. Ad sales grew 53%. Today, Facebook shares dropped about 2%. Go figure. After the closing bell today, Amazon reported weaker-than-expected holiday sales. The company reported net income of $749 million, or $1.54 per share, compared with $482 million, or $1 per share, in the year earlier period, missing earnings estimates. Sales for the period increased 22% to $43.7 billion from $35.7 billion a year ago. That was also a miss on revenues. Amazon lowered guidance for the current quarter, and Amazon dropped about 4% in after-hours trade, which was easy to figure. And while Amazon is being punished for falling short of expectations, let's take a moment to recognize that Amazon had $2.4 billion in net income for the full year, up more than 300% from the year before. And while it did not manage to match that performance in the fourth quarter, Amazon still increased profit 55% in its biggest period of the year. Deutsche Bank posted a loss of 1.4 billion euro for 2016, citing restructuring and negative news flow around a fine from the U.S. Department of Justice. Legal cost hurt its $7.2 billion U.S. penalty, the largest against any bank, was for fines and compensation for its involvement in the toxic debt crisis of 2008. Revenue declined 10% to 30 billion euro. Merck reported better-than-expected U.S. quarterly sales for its key cancer drug, Keytruda, but overall fourth-quarter sales missed estimates. Earnings of 89 cents per share matched estimates. Merck forecast largely in-line 2017 results. Ralph Lauren dropped 10% this morning after its CEO abruptly resigned. Fashion company reported a 12% drop in holiday quarter revenue to $1.7 billion due to weak consumer demand. Macy's is having a sale on Macy's. The department store chain has slashed jobs and stores, sold off some of its pricey real estate, and announced the retirement today of its longtime CEO, Terry Lundgren, to appease investors. But hedge funds have run out of patience for losses as the entire apparel sector reels from a disappointing Christmas holiday shopping season. Royal Dutch Shell recorded its worst annual profit in more than a decade. The CEO said he's pleased with 2016's $52 billion takeover of BG Group, but Shell is close to selling assets totaling $5 billion to try and cut down the debt. And although Shell's fourth quarter profit was lower than expected at $1.8 billion due to tax impairments and full-year earnings dropped, it still made more money than rival ExxonMobil in the second half of the year. Sony cut its full-year profit forecast for a second time after posting quarterly earnings that missed estimates on a major write-down. Net income will be $23 million for the 12 months ending in March. Sony said it doesn't plan to sell its picture business after suffering a billion-dollar write-down and instead aims to turn it around by adding sales channels and making more use of movie characters. Reckitt Benckiser Group is in advanced talks to buy Mead Johnson Nutrition, a $16.7 billion deal that would take the British consumer goods maker into the baby formula market and boost its business outside of Europe. A South Korean court has decided to end Hanjin Shipping's court receivership process and expects to declare bankruptcy February 17th after a two-week period for appeals. Made the decision as the firm's liquidation value would be worth more than its value as a going concern. Alphabet's self-driving car unit is far more comprehensive and mature than its rivals. That, according to new stats released by regulators, the data shows that Waymo logged 30 times more miles of testing in autonomous vehicles than all of its competitors combined last year in California. Its cars were also the most accurate, with human intervention needed for safety reasons only 0.2 times per 1,000 miles. It's not legal to fly a drone anywhere near an airport, at least not without a special waiver from the Federal Aviation Administration. But for the first time, under the FAA's commercial drone rules, the agency granted permission to operate a drone at an airport. Seven flights were conducted by Berkeley-based 3D Robotics on January 10th at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International. That's the busiest airport in the world. The 3D robotics drone was given permission to collect data on two four-story parking structures at the airport that a construction firm was hired to demolish. In its broadest deployment so far, IBM's Watson will be assisting H&R Block's 70,000 tax professionals this filing season at 10,000 branch offices across the country where about 11 million people file taxes. The AI partnership will be presented during a 60-second Super Bowl television ad. Over the past week or so, we gave away a boatload of tickets to the Waste Management Phoenix Open, sometimes called the greatest show on grass, and while that might be debatable, it is absolutely the greenest show on grass or pretty much anywhere else. For 4 years running, whether through recycling, composting, reusing, or converting to energy, none of the more than 1,700 tons of waste generated at the tournament since 2012 has ended up in a landfill. There are no garbage cans on the course during tournament week. Instead, there are 4,000 compost and recycling containers and 60 solar-powered compactors. A cleanup crew of about 1,500 is overseen by approximately 100 waste management managers from around the country. They're working day and night shifts to make sure 100% of materials is diverted from landfills. Now, a year ago, when the weekly attendance of 618,365 set a PGA Tour record, there were more than 500 tons of waste. The breakdown, 46% recycled, 38% composted, 10% waste to energy, and 6% donated. Last year, vendors donated over 18,000 pounds of unused food to local nonprofits. No coincidence that the tournament sponsor is Waste Management, and they're using the sponsorship to educate fans as well. They've done such a good job, the PGA is now using Waste Management for other tournaments, and the company will work with the golf environmental organization GEO to pilot a new sustainability standard for golf events. Valley of the Sun is known for many things, some good, some bad. This is probably one of the best. Dow Industrial Average down 6 at 19,884. S&P 500 up 1 at 2,280. NASDAQ Composite down 6 to finish at 5,636. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. And the daily blog is eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com.